Blog Talk Radio.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
And welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. I hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I hope you have a better week to follow, as I always say. You never know, it's the Twisted Sisters, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I guess time will tell on that part. Hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi.
Hello,
hello.
Wow, that was in unison. You guys practiced.
We must have, yeah.
You didn't even sound like, God, you guys could sing happy birthday at that rate. How funny is that? Wow, that's impressive. So it's new, girls. Anything exciting?
Not in this neck of the woods.
It's freezing rain out here right now. It's like you hear it hitting against the windows and the roof and the everything, and it's just like it's really yuck. Yeah, I don't know, Pam, if you're having the same kind of temperature up there, down there, or where you're up.
I haven't been freezing. Yeah. I am down compared to where you are, yes. We were in the low 30s today. I think it was like about 30, 31 degrees. I never went outside, but it looked cold. It was, you know, like no snow, no rain, but a really just dreary and overcast looking sky.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But still, it could be worse, so I'm not complaining.
Amen. I get that.
Yeah, well, we had that kind, you know, not too bad of a day. Of course, it was freezing out, but, you know, it was clear. The skies were clear.
Right.
But tonight it just started, like the freezing rain and really miserable out there.
My cat is
there somewhere. I've been calling her and calling her, like, before the show started, like, get in here, you stupid thing.
Yeah, they want to
gonna wait till the show starts, and then she's gonna be howling at the door. That's what she does that to me every time. Oh boy. Anyway.
Too funny.
And you, Phil, what's new? What's new?
Oh my God, I've been tired all day, and it's been I hate tired all day. I really do, but I've been napping on and off. It's cold here. It's raining. We have no freezing rain, I'm pleased to report. Our high today was 40. Well, right now we're at 49. We were at 47 earlier. So, I mean, it's pretty junky, you know. I don't know. This is the weather I don't like, you know, at all. I don't like being cold and wet, you know. Wintertime, you get the rain going. It's just too much for my old body. It was too much for my young body, too. Don't misunderstand. So it's just been something. But yeah, other than that, there's nothing really happening. It's been quiet, thank God.
I had the visit of my daughter on the weekend, so that was really fun. We had fun. Yeah, she left Sunday, but we had fun. Went shopping all day Saturday. Oh, my gracious. her and my granddaughter. My granddaughter's 14, you know, and so my daughter and her in the stores are like they take off, you know, and I'm there like running behind them, trying to keep up, you know. boy, they'd stay in stores for hours, you know. After half an hour, it's like, I've had it, you know. Let's go home. but they love shopping. I used to love shopping, but not anymore.
But trekking through all those stores and fighting the people. It's kind of like, I'm done. I just want to go home.
Your call
is
forwarded to an automated.
I know. It's my damn phone again. I'm glad you had a good weekend. I had a good weekend, too. We spent time with family. My sister decided to do a pre-Thanksgiving, so we all got together at her house on Sunday. And we're all going to we're going to my daughter's on Thursday. And then my daughter's doing a Thanksgiving just for her and her boyfriend on Sunday. And I said, well, I have a turkey in the freezer, and I'm thinking to myself, I ain't bringing that thing out for nothing. It looks good there. So I was thinking about cooking it, but then I opted kind of out of it. But my sister decided not to do turkey. This whole big thing where she was going to make turkey on Sunday, we saw it. I went to find out that she changed her mind. My nephew works at a butcher shop. So she decided she was going to do prime rib on Sunday. I said, oh, well, that's nice, you know. So then my daughter had planned she was going to do turkey, but then she said, my sister was going to do turkey. So we all just looked at her. Let's just do gobblers from Wawa. We all got laughing, and all of a sudden it kind of stuck like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So my sister decided she was going to make the prime rib and told my daughter after we had already jockeyed all the plans. And I just sat there and laughed. I said, you know, it's such a typical thing in our family. Everybody's got to change up and last minute. And yeah, we all want to be back. But it's all good. It's all good. You know, we'll eat. That's all that matters. We'll eat something. And it'll taste
good. That's it. Family. You know, the laughing and the sharing, and that's what counts. Yeah. I was, telling quite a few of United States people this week that, you know, our Thanksgiving is in October. You know, they were wishing me, saying, Happy Thanksgiving. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving? No, that's over with, you know, and we don't make a great big deal here in Quebec and French Quebec anyway. Thanksgiving, it's just like a day off work for us, basically. It's more English Canada, I think, that they make it. I know my mom is English, so she Thanksgiving is more important to her there, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, I get that. It's funny how we all kind of have similar things, but we do them at different times. you know. Mm-hmm. And I can barely keep track of the radio schedule, let alone start trying to figure out who has Thanksgiving when. You know, make me a little crazy.
That's it. Yeah, so
it's a little crazy, but you know, we get through it, I guess. But it is strange to have different celebrations at different times. Because I think I remember someone talking about your Thanksgiving. It may have been Harco, somebody.
Could
in the room, and I went, oh, happy Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh. It makes me feel like I should acknowledge it, but I'm like, God, I can only do one Thanksgiving a year. I can't celebrate three. They all think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I don't know. Yeah. It's something different. You know, actually, Thanksgiving should be every day, honestly.
That's it. Exactly.
Because that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we should all be thankful for everything we have every day. And, you know, I'm not preaching at anybody. It's just sometimes it's really hard to see your blessings. You know,
mm-hmm.
But there's a poem by, I think it's Christina. What's her name, Pam? You know her.
Rossetti? Christina,
yeah,
Rossetti?
I knew she knew. I think it was her.
Yeah. Okay, I know her, yeah.
It's not your losses. I have to look it up. That'll be a good one for Thanksgiving Day. But it's a wonderful little poem. And it's very true, so... when I find it, I'll post it someplace. I don't know where, but you know, I'll figure it out. But yeah, it's all good stuff. But anyway, yeah, I think we'll have a good time because we're going to do Thanksgiving here on the radio at 10 o'clock. And anyone who is, you know, available or wants to join in or wants to participate or just listen to us crazy people, you're all welcome to attend. You know.
Well, I'll probably be phoning in because, hey, we don't have Thanksgiving here.
There you go. You're our girl. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, that's the nice thing about it, you know, is we have so many different areas involved that some people aren't celebrating. But, you know, the ones that are, if nothing else, they kick back in their chair and their tryptophan-induced coma and just listen to the radio. I mean, we're harmless. You know,
that's
it. You won't pick your pockets while you're passed out or anything. It's all good.
And I like the way you set up the contest, you know, that it is really about, you know, giving thanks to everyday things, you know, not just, you know, the holiday, you know, in quotation marks. It's just, it's really for you, the blessings that you have every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody can relate to that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. You know, even a gratiest of people has to be thankful for one thing. You know, I don't know. But at least that's my opinion. We all know what opinions. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, and they all smell. I cleaned it up for this show, ladies. I cleaned it up for this show. But, So anyway, and Naomi, tell us what's going on with your show tonight, Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah, well, you know, I fell in love. I came across migration. I don't know where I think it was on Facebook. It must have been, you know, I'm on so many group sites there that have art. And I came across this, you know, for once, this artwork that had one theme. It happens very rarely with me. I'm usually all over the place. You know, and there was moon. There was a moon in every single one of her artworks, you know. And so I just fell in love with this digital artist, you know, illustrator, Noelle T. I don't know what the T is for. She just goes by Noelle T. And she does books. She puts her illustrations in books. You can buy them too. She's an artist from Australia, which is very rare for me. I think it's the first Australian artist that I've ever had in any of my contests. So that's cool, you know, from all the way over the other side of the world. And yeah, and she's, you know, she's really has been always fascinated by the moons and the stars. And through her illustrations, she wants to catch that enchanting magic, you know, and convey that sense of wonder and awe that the night sky evokes, and the moon and the stars. She wants to transfer it to everybody through her art. Get people to look up at the sky night and with renewed sense of awe and appreciation for its beauty. So, you know, that's what was written in her biography by her, that she hopes to leave, you know, that sense of magic and wonder for the viewers. Awesome art and whimsical again. I'm the whimsical girl here.
Oh, I love the magical.
Yeah. Gotta be whimsical. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and we had a carryover from my gracious poor T. Perry. We had an autumn carryover, and so I put it up on the board, and we'll start it. We only have one. So from the Brevity Show, Keeping It Brief, and if Pam, no, well, Jean, if you want to go ahead and give that a read and then do comments afterwards, because my cat is howling at the door as we speak. So I'm going to go get her in.
Okay. Well, here we go. This is called Forever Autumn by T. Perry 898. Now the summer sun is setting, autumn whispers on the breeze, golden leaves are raining softly from the branches of the trees. Birds ascending to the heaven journey south for warmer climes. Squirrels are topping off up their larders for the cold of winter time. Pearly cowbells hang suspended, Halloween shall bare her teeth. Jack Frost makes a guest appearance on September's golden wreath. Harvest festivals are flowing, bumper crops they shall ensue. Magic sunsets will endeavor to dissolve the winter blues. End poem. Nice, nice. Pam, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. Great read there, Jean. I love this ride. The beautiful, great rhyme and flow. I like how it doesn't go directly into autumn, but, you know, talks about the first line, now the summer sun is setting, and then goes into autumn. And, you know, I like how it speaks on the expectations of what will be coming up. Squirrels are topping up their larders for the cold of winter time. Pearly cobwebs hang suspended. Halloween shall bare her teeth. Jack Frost makes a guest appearance on September's golden wreath. There's such a wonderful sense of anticipation, and also just a really nice thought on the personality of autumn, with all the bright colors and the nip in the air and the, you know, the Halloween with the big grins of skeletons and all those kind of ghouls. So great write and very well done.
Absolutely. Oh, I love this. First of all, I love the rhyme and meter of it. I love the imagery. I just thought that it really had it was a wonderful, wonderful picture painted all the way through, because, you know, you can imagine the summer sun setting, the whispers on the breeze, you know, you can kind of, sense that. Golden leaves, yeah, you know, everybody can see those raining softly. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Some people don't have autumn, and I feel sorry for everyone who does not. But the birds ascending to the heavens, it is. It's just a wonderful little, I want to say almost a slideshow, you know, or a short film of things that are happening, you know, and I think it was just beautifully done. T. Perry's work always has some really great imagery, and this was a fine example of it. Wonderful work, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great read, so thanks. Thank you, T. Perry, for sharing with us. Naomi, are you back?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, what a wonderful brevity this is. You know, the imagery, like, he covers so much in this little poem. And, you know, birds ascending to the heaven, journey south for warmer climes. That makes me think of, you know, well, Saturday when I was shopping, before I entered the shopping center, I saw these birds, and it was freezing, and it was blowing the wind. It was so cold. And I saw these birds, well, it must be these the ducks or something, the loons, flying overhead, you know, in their V's there. And I was thinking to myself, wow, boy, my gracious, you guys like, you know, to give yourself a hard time. Why didn't you leave earlier? Earlier, you know, it's freezing out, my gracious. But I guess they have a timeline, or I don't know, they have a timeline that they follow, and I guess different birds leave at different times, because, you know, I've been seeing them since a while now, so I have to look that up. I'm really curious about that. You know, what kind of birds, when do they leave? Do they have, you know, certain times for different birds? There must be. But anyway, poor birds out fighting against the cold and the wind. Oh, my gracious, poor them. But, you know, what a beautiful poem by T. Perry this is. You know, just amazing, amazing brevity.
Absolutely. Listen to that kitty cat. Feed that kitty cat. She says she's hungry.
My goodness. You hear her meowing, eh? No, yeah. I did feed her. She's just, I don't know. She must, her paws must be frozen or something. She's, she's just, go to bed. Okay. So I put up our next poem by Time Teller, and Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that one a read, my dear.
Absolutely. Another Downpour by Time Teller. It's rained so much, hefty, hungry downpours that devours roads and liquefies earth. Under moonlight, flooded ground reflects all those things we hold dear. We stand together looking into an abyss of black ripples, seeking storm drains between new housing estates. We stand watching each other ripple, holding hands in gentle grips as if they are paddles. We tell a joke that holds the cord of hope like a tug on a starter cord of a boat engine, and we dissipate our negativity through the flood, havocing a wake like that of a proud swan. Rains will stop, waters will recede, and the warmness of our bed will hold us dear within its bosom of comfort as embers pop from a fire hearth. End poem.
Nice read, Pam.
Oh, my gracious. Yes, and I was talking away. Oh, boy. Oh, wonderful read, Pam. And, you know, what a wonderful write, too, by Time Teller. This is Another Downpour. I just loved, you know, some of these stanzas in here. We stand watching each other ripple, holding hands in gentle grips as if they were paddles. We tell a joke that pulls the cord of hope like a tug on a starter cord of a boat engine. That's just amazing. And then we dissipate our negativity through the flood. So, you know, that rain washes away all the negative feelings, you know, and then when the rain stops and the waters recede, well, all is left is, you know, the nice warmth of the bed and the comfort of a fire and positive vibes. So, you know, I really like this, the imagery, the metaphors. Oh, my gracious, just an amazing write. What did you think, Jean or Phil?
I answered either one, Jean and Phil, or Eugene, or there's been other words too, but I can't tell you those on air. I think this was just a really well done piece. there's great imagery all the way through. The metaphor, I thought, was very well done. And I kind of picked up, I went to pick up a spot of it, and then I kind of got caught up in here. You know, under moonlight, flooded ground reflects all those things we hold dear. We stand together looking into an abyss of black ripples, seeking storm drains between new housing estates. We stand watching each other ripple, holding hands, in gentle grips as if they were paddles. We tell a joke that pulls the cord of hope, like the tug on a starter cord of a boat engine. It has a lot of, it kind of says to me, you know, no matter how hard times get, you know, we have to acknowledge it, but if we stay together and we help each other out and we hang in there, we can get through it. You know, we can pull each other out of this, you know, no matter what the situation is. And I think that that's really, you know, the crux of it. But I think it was just a wonderfully done piece. And Time Teller, this is a great job. I really enjoyed this one. So thanks for sharing. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She's on mute again. I just know it.
Oh, yes. Pam, your thoughts.
I thought this was wonderful. I really like it and how it does speak on standing together. I think it also is a wonderful write on the idea of the cleansing process of a hard rain, and yeah. How, you know, I really like where it says, we tell a joke that pulls the cord of hope like a tug on a starter cord of a boat engine. That's just really great imagery and metaphor, and I like the idea of how humor can help us get through difficult times. I also like, we stand together looking into an abyss of black ripples seeking storm drains between new housing estates. There, it, to me, is the reality of what it's like to be a people that lives in a heavily flooded area. Amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. And we know all about floods here in Quebec, my gracious. I think that's the number one thing that we have here, you know, where we're surrounded. We have a lot of lakes, rivers, and, you know, and we have the ocean too, well, the St. Lawrence River, but we refer to it as the ocean, you know, the farther we get north. But, you know, and that's a big thing here in Quebec, you know, floods. Oh, my gracious, with the melting of snow, I don't know about you, Pam, but here, my gracious, every spring there seems to be an area that's flooded completely, houses just, you know, people go around and go down the street in their canoes, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's just, you know, it's every spring. I don't know. I move away from there. What are you guys doing? Like, oh, my gracious. Anyway, but poor them, you know. Oh, my. Yeah, every spring. Anyway, well, so what a wonderful write that was indeed by Time Teller. And thank you so much for sharing. And we have our next write out, Voicemails by Ben Hart, and I'll give it a read. Hi, you've reached a random number in a magic static. I couldn't answer your call right now because I am either out listening to the moon's cover of an angel's halo or digging for treasure in scars that change color too, often for me to remember who wounded me. So call me back or come find me outside the noise of it all. 1. Hi, I came here to listen sometimes, and part of me knows it's your ghost haunting my hands as I dial those numbers again. And though they're trembling and anxiety's expansionism, where your poorest parting gift is that part of me that hasn't hated you yet for what you did, it helps a little bit to get to spend some time with you. And to you, I imagine in some sick way you found healing and having been the death of someone else as well. Some nights I sing back to that lone black pearl as she changes colors as she goes alone through time, like I too. Hey man, it's been 3 years now, and I still feel like my restless orbit is only just starting its path around the dark side of the moon. And I tell myself, I will not find you there a happier man than I, or worse, that you will not have forgotten me. But I am worried, I am afraid that soon I will see you again. So don't look back, old friend. Run as far as you far out as you can. You chose to die in hopes of flight. So flourish, never hit land again. 3. Hey, I just wanted to say I hope wherever you did go, that every moon has a halo. And not just when it's cold. I hope by the time I punch out, they'll have sung you a smile and restored the hopes in your eyes. Until then, goodbye. 4. It's not the same without you, man. The smoke has lost its taste. The taste has lost its tell. The happy nights were erased. Perhaps you played them on repeat in hell. You killed the music, man, with the same hands that took my friend from me. Life has been a dream since then, a cruel reality where the noise never ends. I will never wake up from again waiting for someone who is dead to just please call me back. End poem. Wow. You know, what a... Oof. This is hard-hitting, you know, it makes me think of, I don't want to go there, but it makes me think of losing somebody to either depression or suicide or, you know, just losing somebody and, you know, then talking to them, talking to, you know, wondering where they are. Makes me think of the song, I'm jealous of the rain that falls upon your skin, you know, jealous of, you know, the person where he is at, that you're not, he's not there with you anymore. Yeah, really sad piece. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree, this is sad, and, you know, it's emotionally charged, powerful lines. Wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. I like, hey man, it's been 3 years now and I still feel like my restless orbit is only just starting its path around the dark side of the moon. And I tell myself, I will not find you there a happier man than I, or worse, that you will have forgotten me. You know, those are just really intense lines on the idea of, you know, the hope of wanting to see, know that somebody has found a sense of peace, but the fear that you will not find that, and that nobody will. But wonderful, wonderful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that that you said your observation there. That's very profound, Pam. Of, you know, they're wanting them to find their peace, but then the ones that are left behind wondering if they will ever will. Yeah, absolutely. And what did you think, Phil, of this wonderful poem by Ben Hart?
Well, I liked it. I really thought it was a nicely written and expressed piece by Ben. I agree with you. It does seem like, you know, a major loss by suicide or death or suicide because of the one line that we read in here. But I think it was just really well expressed because you have to talk to them sometimes. You know, those folks that decide to check out. because, you know, when you're friends with them, it's kind of like, what the hell are you doing? Why did you do that to me? Why did you leave us here? You know, that kind of thing. And I get it. I get that. You know, I know that was so beautifully expressed. I'm sorry. I cannot help myself. But I really think that each one of the vignettes is very well done and very straight up and forward to that person. You know, I, of course, led to the fourth vignette. It's not the same without you, man. The smoke has lost its taste. The time has lost its tail. And happy nights were erased. Perhaps you play them on repeat in hell. You killed the music, man, with the same hands that took my friend from me. Life has been a dream since then, a cruel reality. Where the noise never ends, I will never wake from again, waiting for someone who is dead to just please call me back. You know, you're talking to that person. And you know, indirectly, there's always a question, you know, you're waiting for someone to get back to you and just tell you, explain it to me. Just explain it to me, you know, and of course you just keep waiting because it doesn't happen. So nicely done, Ben, and thanks for sharing. I'm not sure which of the individual prompts are because there's 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, well, prompt 10, prompt 5, prompt 1, you know. And he says prompt 4 was partly written by daughter, so I'm not sure how that works out, but nice job to two of you. How's that? Anyway.
Absolutely. And wonderful, wonderful, right? You know, very profound, very heart, you know, pulls out our heartstrings for sure. And I love his, the way he uses man, you know. It makes it so authentic feeling, the conversation between him and his friend. Yeah, so great writer, Ben, and thank you so, so much for sharing. And I have our next write-up, which is Moon Madness by Daniel Zwam. And Phil, if you want to give that a read, please.
Sure. Let me just find it. Here we go. Moon Madness by Daniel Duhame. Every night when there is no light, the moon hugs me Every night when there is no light, the moon hugs me with its moonbeams, gently falling to the ground filled with stardust. As the tiny woodland creatures dance with the sound of their hearts reverberating inside, a silent chorus set in motion by the moonlight serenade. A distant wolf howls from loneliness, trying to entice a mate, sent by the power from the moon, like pixie dust floating around midair. End poem.
And he just transported me all the way up to Pam's place in Wisconsin. I don't know. It just gave me that feeling. The woodland, the howling wolf. I don't know. I was just transported to your place, Pam. And, you know, what wonderful imagery throughout this whole poem. You know, it really... you see the woodland creatures there, their sound of their heart reverberating inside a silent chorus set in motion by the moonlight serenade. And it's through all these woodland creatures that come out, you know, at nighttime, whether it be the wolves, whether it be the owls, you know, so many other little critters that you know, only poke at their face out when it's nighttime, you know, and they're on the chase, you know, you know, they wanna get at their next meal, but you hear them at nighttime, you know. And I love how he ends the whole piece in a whimsical way, like pixie dust floating around in midair. It's just amazing the way he finishes the whole piece off. I think he really captured all that, you know, the beauty and the wonderfulness of the moon and the night here in this poem. So bravo, Danya Zam. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. There is a certain magical and mystical quality to this. And I also, as you were saying, a whimsicality. And I really liked all three stanzas, but it was the second one that really stood out to me. As the tiny woodland creatures dance with the sounds of their hearts reverberating inside a silent chorus set in motion by the moonlight serenade. And I just really like how this speaks and how the moonlight not only speaks to animals, but, you know, speaks to our own souls as well. And just a beautiful, thoughtful write and very well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Phil, what do you think of the poem?
I liked the poem very much. Each stanza was, I thought, well done. Just great lines throughout, good imagery. I picked the first two stanzas. Pam grabbed the second one, so I'm not going to read it. But every night when there is no light, the moon hugs me with its moonbeams, gently falling to the ground, filled with stardust. And it does have this I guess whimsical would work, kind of imagery in it. It just kind of ethereal, maybe. It's just, he talks about pixie dust in the last stanza, and I guess it has like a fairy lake kind of quality about it, you know, with the way he words it out there and, paints that picture for us. So I think you did a great job, Daniel Duhaime, and thanks for sharing. Well done.
Oh, well done indeed. Thank you so much, Daniel, and thank you for encouraging us every show, my gracious, and writing for us. We so appreciate you. Yeah, like that. It's so, so appreciated. Often he's the first one to start off my show, my contest, you know. He's often the first one in, you know. He says, okay, I wrote, hoping
right.
Others will follow. And so that's so appreciated. And so thank you so much. And we have our next write-up by Ken Smith. And it's called The Bruce. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read, please.
All right. The Bruce, with a song that has it all, spinning round a dead dial. It was radio nowhere, looking for somebody alive out there. Four driving guitars, two keyboards, the sax, pounding drums. I want a million different voices speaking in tongues. The New Jersey Shuffle, Atlantic City Boardwalk, Asbury Park, the boss injecting the vocal spark. End poem.
What a great read, you know, a great write to, you know, that song. I actually stopped a few minutes to listen to that song by Bruce Springsteen because I didn't, bad me, I didn't know that song, Radio Nowhere. Oh, my gracious, I can't believe I didn't know it. But, you can tell it's really a song that talks to him and, you know, and it's a great song too that I want a million different voices speaking in tongues, you know, so music to reunite, continents, you know, across the world, or different cultures or different people. I really like this, you know, spinning around a dead dial. It was radio nowhere, looking for somebody alive out there. The radio was so important back then, when they had the Van Isle records playing and the DJs on the radios. And, you know, that was the time when, you know, people got together, you know, music reunited to generations and cultures and people, and And then, you know, anyway, I think he really did a great job in getting the emotion across in this piece. I really liked it. What did you think, Phil?
I liked the piece. I really did. I'm not familiar with the song, but from what you said, I have to give it a whirl. But I have to say, you know, if this, the prompt, the image prompt, I thought was well reflected in the words themselves. So that on its own, I think, was saying something. You know, spinning around a dead dial, it was radio nowhere, looking for somebody alive out there. That goes into four driving guitars, two keyboards, the sax pounding drums. I want a million different voices speaking in tongues. Just nicely done. I love that the Victrola on the rooftop, people dancing, you know, just one of those images that just really sets the stage. And I think that the words took up and filled in, you know, all the blanks, which there aren't any blanks, but you know what I mean. It's a nice job. It really is. So well done, Ken Smith, and thanks for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is a wonderful brevity. And I like that he chose a specific song that moves him. But I also like how it does speak on that idea of seeking the music that connects people. And, you know, it just a wonderful write all the way through. But I really do like that line, looking for somebody alive out there. Wonderful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful write. Thank you so much, Ken, for sharing it with us tonight. And I have our next write-up by Teresa Streschenkoff. And I guess it's my turn to read it, right? And this is called I Can. I can still feel you near, can feel your sweet embrace, even feel your hand brush across my face. You may have left here, bit there is, but there is so many memories and thoughts about you that will help remember who taught me how to love, how to be strong, and to never, ever give up. With honesty, you can't go wrong. I know you're up above, still sending me all your love and watching out for me. I know one day we will get to see one another again someday. Until that day comes, my dear brother, there can never be another brother as good as you always were. End poem. And, you know, what a wonderful, heartfelt write, tribute to her brother here by Teresa. You know, just full of emotion and, you know, wonderful that she thought of him through the prompts. And, you know, I'm happy that, you know, it helped her to share her love that she still has for him and, you know, share his memory with us. So thank you so much, Teresa. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this was beautiful. The way she expresses her love for her brother and the loss she feels. And especially, I love how she expresses the hope she has and knowing that one day that she'll see him again, get to see one another again someday. Until that day comes, my dear brother, there can never be another brother as good as you always were. Wonderful, heartfelt lines and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Yeah, you always have that hope of seeing another person that's passed on again, and you know that keeps you going with them and with their memory in your heart. So Thank you so, so much for sharing, Teresa. What did you think, Phil?
I thought this was a beautiful piece. I thought it was nicely penned piece expressing love for her lost brother. I love the first stanza of this. I can still feel you near, can feel your sweet embrace, even feel your hand brush across my face. I love how she just led into the piece with that because it was sweet and it was kind and it was loving. And then I went down to, I think it was the last two. I know you're up above, still sending me all your love and watching out for me. I know one day we will see. Get to see one another again someday. Until that day comes, dear my dear brother, there can never be another brother as good as you always were. I thought it was just sweet the way she wrapped it up by expressing to everyone who she was speaking to. And I thought that was a nice piece, a nice bit in the piece to share with everyone. So nice work, Teresa, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you for sharing such a personal piece of yourself with us, for sure. And I have the next write-up, and it's called If I Lived Inside an Ice Cream Cone. And Phil, it's your turn to read.
Oh, man, and I get to read If I Lived Inside an Ice Cream Cone. Woo-hoo. I love that. If I lived inside an ice cream cone, I'd find my way out. I'd make a door, just saying. Okay, If I Lived Inside an Ice Cream Cone by Samage. If I lived inside an ice cream cone, the wafer walls would keep us cozy. The flake would feed my friends and me, so we'd never have to go to white wall offices or far-flung places. We could stay together, high-fiving, playing, find entertainment from flowing sauces, different flavors, spending a day debating cloud formations, and every night the moon would wish me good rest if I lived inside an ice cream cone. End poem.
What a sweet little light, you know, of great creativity and imagination and just whimsical. And, you know, what if we all lived inside an ice cream cone? Hey! Yeah. And, you know, I don't even have to look to see what prompt number 6 was. It was the, you know, the world inside of the earth inside an ice cream cone. Yeah, a wafer kind of cone there. And, I didn't know if anybody would attack that prompt because it was kind of, you know, unique. But, right. You know, I'm really happy somebody did and they really did it justice, you know. We could stay together high-fiving, playing, finding entertainment from flowing sauces, different flavors. Yeah, different flavors of ice cream and all the sauces that they pour on it nowadays. Spend a day debating cloud formations. Yeah, you know, you really had fun with the prompt, and we can really see that. So bravo. What did you think, Pam?
You know, it's always great when you can tell somebody has had fun with a prompt and with writing a poem. I thought this was absolutely delightful and creative. It made me think of, in a slight way, of the book James and the Giant Peach. I liked them.
Yeah.
It really gave me a smile, and I like how they write on the wonders of childhood imagination. I really like, we could stay together high-fiving, playing, find entertainment from flowing sauces, different flavors. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, what you guys said. I thought it was a fun piece, great take on the prompt. And I grabbed these lines, which were half of yours, Naomi, and half of yours, Pam. We could stay together high-fiving, playing, finding entertainment from flowing sauces, different flavors, spend a day debating cloud formations, and every night the moon would wish me good rest. I just said thanks for the smile. I thought it was nicely done. Great little brevity.
Absolutely. And that's Samage. I don't know if I've ever seen that poet before in one of my contests, so Anyway, yeah. Welcome, and hope to see more of you. So great to see, well, for me anyway, the new name. And I have the next write-up, Jessica C. Wheeler and Pam, if you want to give that a spin.
Absolutely. The Cradling Moon by Jessica C. Wheeler. She dreams of starry skies each night, a shooting wish. With dampened cheeks, her eyes look up, pleading with the moon. Her hopes like distant stars too high. She gazes lovingly, admires and adores all the night sky keeps. She longs to be kept too, if only for a moment, to touch all that it cradles. The vast, momentous sky just once would be enough. Then there beneath the atmosphere, she called to gentle waters, a pond of swimming stars, glistening with twilight. She floats in eager awe, gliding on tranquil stardust toward her guiding light, a bathing crescent moon, whispers to the cosmos her secrets, hopes, and sins, tracing constellations that ripple in response. Her gaze need not look up, but forward here on earth, for there she meant to hold the night sky in her hands. End poem.
What a, you know, a wonderful, you know, beautiful write, full of the imagery and metaphors, like Jessica can do them. You know, having those, you know, that cradling the moon, just having those wishes, those dreams, you know, it's just such a tender, soft poem. She dreams of starry skies each night, a shooting wish with dampened cheeks. Her eyes look up pleading with the moon. You know, her dreams, her wishes, her hopes, they're all transported up there into the night sky. And, you know, she longs to be kept, too, if only for a moment, to touch all that it cradles, the vast, momentous sky, just once would be enough. And then, you know, to see the crescent moon in the gentle waters there, you know, and tracing constellations, that makes me think of when I was young and I'd learn the name of the different star constellations. You know, I remember my brothers and I with our little fingers up, you know, trying to trace the stars, you know, the constellations, you know, in the sky with our fingers, so that here she's in the ripples, but, you know, with the prompt, but, you know, it made me think of that. So just an amazing, amazing write by Jessica here. So, so well done. And what did you think, Phil?
Okay. I thought this was wonderfully penned and beautifully expressed piece and a great take on the prompt. Hang on a second, because I have to drop these lines so I can tell you where I started. I thought these lines were really just super. And they tied everything together, the image and the whole thought of what she was saying. Then, there beneath the atmosphere, she's called to gentle waters, a pond of swimming stars glistening with twilight. She floats in eager awe, gliding on tranquil stardust toward her guiding light, a bathing crescent moon. Whispers to the cosmos, her secrets, hopes, and sins, tracing constellations that ripple in response. I thought those lines were just wonderful, and I thought that they really captured the image very well. So excellent job, Jessica C. Wheeler, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great work.
Absolutely, wonderfully written to that prompt, indeed. Mm-hmm. She captured it totally. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. It does have amazing imagery and metaphors throughout. And I like how it speaks on, especially in that end stanza, the realization that dreams can come to fruition when one focuses and moves forward. I really like that end stanza. And also I really like, she longs to be kept too, if only for a moment, to touch all that it cradles, the vast, momentous sky, just once would be enough. You know, that idea of the dreams that you want to reach for, the connection that you want to have with something greater than yourself. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm always happy, Jessica C. Wheeler, to see a write from her, as I am with a lot of all the other writers. But, you know, I want to thank everybody that writes for our contest. And so thank you, Jessica, and thank you, everybody. And thank you to this next poet, Jenny the Deep, for writing also for almost all our contests. And whose turn is it to, who read last? Pam, and you read it, yeah. So it's my turn. Choosing my fate on the moon. Sinking in rippling reflections, rejected in one-way dimensions, nearly drowning in tears of pain to the majestic moon, I fly away in the rain. Luminosity lures me to a brighter destiny. Finally, free from fear, I'm again able to breathe, escaping the sorrowful seas of black and agony. Overcoming obstacles, I orbit optimistically, landing on my safe haven, Cheshire crater, leaving a world full of scandalous strangers, rescuing myself from a world of grave danger. Ironically, I now float above a spontaneous, combustible stratosphere. Yeah, she wants to get away from the danger, but she's floating in a combustible stratosphere. So she ends it on like a kind of, you know, funny, you know, kind of funny note. Great rhyme and rhythm here. And, you know, an excellent write on, you know, just, you know, trying to escape the fear. She talks a lot about fear, freeing herself from fears and from, you know, the blackened agony and the sorrow and everything, and just escape. I think escaping our world, the earth, for a minute and floating amongst a stratosphere out there, you know, and being on the moon, being in the moon, you know. You know, when we let ourselves float and our thoughts drift and our mind go, to escape our mundane problems, where they say, yay, you're in the moon. So I think maybe that's where she went with this poem, you know, elsewhere, just floated elsewhere. So great write here by Jenny the Deep. And what did you think, Pam?
I have to agree, this was a great write by Jenny. A nice rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I really like how, to me, it spoke on making a choice to travel towards a light in dark times. And I do like how she mentions the irony at the end. Ironically, I now float above a spontaneous combustible stratosphere. So it's one of those lines that makes you think that maybe the person didn't make the right choice after all. I also like her touch of alliteration that she uses in some of her lines, like lunar luminosity and majestic moon. great right and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Now, I love your comment about the irony at the end. And what did you think, Phil?
Well, you know, I thought it was a nice take on the prompts. I mean, she had quite a few that she incorporated into this and nicely written and expressed. And I grabbed this stanza. Lunar luminosity lures me to a brighter destiny, finally free from fear. I'm again able to breathe, escaping the sorrowful seas of black into agony. Overcoming obstacles, I orbit optimistically. I thought they were nice lines. You know, it didn't linger in the downside, you know. It brought it up to an optimistic state of mind, and I liked it. So thanks, Jenny.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jenny, for sharing with us. And I have our next poem up, Navigating Through the Blues by A.G. Estes.
Yeah.
I never saw this poet before, I don't think. So this is a new poet for me, I guess, again. And, yeah, and Phil, it's your turn to read.
Okie dokie. This is called Navigating Through the Blues by E.G. Estes. Feeling down, feeling low, the blues have settled, a heavy blow. But fear not, my friend, for I'll be here to lift your spirits, bring joy near. In the depths of sadness we often dwell, but remember it's okay to not feel well. Embrace the blues, let them run their course, for they can lead to gross and inner force. Find solace in music, let it be your guide. In rhythm and lyrics, let your emotions reside. Dance to the melodies, sway with the beat. Let the music heal, make your soul feel complete. Seek comfort in nature, its beauty so vast. Let it remind you that moments won't last. The sky above, the flowers that bloom, in their presence find solace. Let your spirit resume. Reach out to loved ones, share your heart. Their support and love will be your restart. In their embrace, find warmth and care. They'll remind you that you're never alone in despair. Remember, my friend, the blues will fade. In time, brighter days will cascade. Hold on to hope. Let it light your way. The blues may linger, but they won't forever stay. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read, Phil. And, you know, what a positive vibe throughout this poem. Yeah, I really like the, you know, the flow, the rhythm. It's almost like you were singing it at one point, Phil. It flowed so, it flowed so beautifully. Yeah, I liked, you know, the way he attacks the blues and makes the blues into something, you know, positive. You know, feeling down, feeling low. The blues have settled, a heavy blow. But fear not, my friend, for I'll be here to lift your spirits, bring joy near. And, you know, he finds that solace in music, in the rhythm, the lyrics, and, you know, in the beauty of nature. You know, he mentions that and you know. And, you know, and the friendship and of loved ones around him. So, you know, so what a positive, you know, uplifting poem, I find. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. It definitely is positive and uplifting. I think the best thing about this poem to me is the line, but remember, it's okay to not feel well. Embrace the blues, let them run their course, for they can lead to growth and inner force. So, you know, I like the thought there of you don't always have to be happy. You don't have to put on that mask and that fake smile and always be happy. There is something to be found within your sadness, within your anger, an opportunity for growth. But I then like how he goes into, as you were mentioning, Naomi, those things that you can find comfort and joy in, music, nature, even love and connection with other people that can help with the healing process. So So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Well said, Pam. And, you know, you picked out those perfect lines. Yeah, I'm still working on that one. You know, being cheery all the time and not really feeling it. But, you know, I think it's hard sometimes just to show your vulnerability, but I think it's a strength, and I think you have to learn to do it. So, yeah, great thought-provoking, right, by this poet for sure. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought it was nice work, and it was very well done. Great reminder that this too shall pass a lot of times. You know, I can't speak for everybody because it doesn't always work. But we all do need to remember that there's often light at the end of the tunnel. My case is it's usually a train, but that's not true for everyone. I say hang in there, you know. I thought it was a good positive piece, you know, and I picked up this. Reach out to loved ones. Share your heart. Your support and love will be your restart. In their embrace, find warmth and care. They'll remind you that you're never alone in despair. Because I think a lot of times what happens is when we do get down or we do, you know, suffer from that sadness, we don't reach out to anybody. I know I don't. 9 out of 10 times, I just sit here and say, you know what, I don't want to talk to anybody. And sometimes, you know, that's really the best thing we can do.
You don't want to bother other people with your problems either. You listen, like I listen to everybody else's problems, but when you come to share your own, it's like, oh, I'll be a burden, and you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I thought there was an upside to the poem, and I like that. You know, I liked it too. Good job. Thank you, EJ.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I have our next poem up. It's called Stars and Moon. And Pam, if you want to give that a read for us.
I'll be happy to. Stars and Moon by PG. Leaving her apartment on a winter day, she found a love note left on the windshield of her car. His heart and sentiment spilled on a card. The words he used to coax his muse. If you ask for the moon, I'll give you the stars. After a pause, her laughter ensued. If I ask for the moon, I want the moon. Fortunately, he never heard the response. The note died crumbled, taken by the wind and snow on a Chicago street. And she became the star of my life. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read, Pam. And what a sweet, you know, romantic tale. So well said, you know. I love the style, the forward style, the authenticity of it all, you know, the straightforward words, and if you ask for the moon, I'll give you the stars. And after a pause, her laughter ensued. If I ask for the moon, I want the moon. But fortunately, he didn't hear, so she became his star. Just a wonderful little romantic tale told. What did you think, Phil?
I thought it was a nice piece. I really did. I thought it was sweet. There was a little bit of humor. I don't know. I just thought it was very, very down to earth piece. You can just imagine the whole thing happening. You know, the imagery was good, and you can kind of like roll with it. And you know, I wanted to say something specific. I don't know. You know, it's got the good imagery. It's got it's a cute little snapshot, and I loved it at the end there. You know, it was. Where is it? And she became the star of my life. I like the ending of that because I think the whole thing was just this great short snapshot of what happened. And I like the end. I thought that was a nice way to end it off. You know, she became the star of my life. That was sweet. Let me put it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I like how Jean described this as a snapshot, which I think works well. I thought it had wonderful imagery and beautiful lines. And I like how it speaks on the twists and turns of fate on the journey towards love. And I really like how one line, one stanza led into the next. So beautifully painted with words and very well done.
Wonderfully said, Pam. And thank you so much, PG. And I have our next write out up by Julie Buck. And, oh my gracious, it's my turn to read, eh? The Night of Light. And it goes like this. A beach dweller I am, I am. My white cat and I sit atop our seashell home and sip on warm milk and honey. What a fine shooting star shower and a waxing crescent moon. The night air catches my hair and I find that funny. My campfire burns strong on the beach's sandy edge. I wonder silently, where did I used to live before? May this cosmic show never end, but not to worry, 'cause look, inside my bucket stars I've collected over the years, and I've got more. Not to be a show-off, I don't plant that seed, but the moon and I never know when a bit of light one might need. End poem. Ah, oh, that's so sweet. It's so creative and well thought out by Julie Buck. Oh, my gracious. So wonderfully written to that prompt. She just captured it so just uniquely, creatively, and just spot on. And what did you think, Pam?
Well, I like the way that she captured the artwork through this story that she tells. Great imagery, fun lines. I really like, what a fine shooting star, how a shower and a waxing crescent moon, the night air catches my hair, and I find that funny. But I also like where it speaks in the end about how, learning to like the moon, share your own light with other people. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, I like that, not to be a show-off. I don't plant that seed, but the moon and I never know when a bit of light one might need. So, yeah, the sharing of light towards others. So great, great observation, Pam. And what did you think, Phil?
I thought this was just a wonderful take on the chosen prompt. I thought there were great lines throughout. And I think she noted all the different bits of the image, her and her white cat, her seashell home and her campfire burning strong and the shooting stars and the bucket of stars. I think that she just really, she captured a lot of it. And I don't think that it's written in a way where you have to see the image to get it, because she's painted the picture here again in different in her own way. Poetically, she's repainted that picture. And I think it was a nice job. So thank you so much, Julie. I really enjoyed this one. So it was great. Hello? Are you on mute again, Naomi?
I am. I take my privileges away.
Right.
I was just saying hi to Robbie out on the board if he's listening, but now he hears me if he's listening. He didn't hear me a while ago. I was on mute, but so hi, Robbie. And I just put up our next poem by Yuma, And really looking forward. I read this earlier. Really, was really looking forward to this, right? Phil, your turn to read.
Okay. Let me see what I can do here. This is called Caring from Afar by Uma 71. She reaches out to the moon with a rose, doesn't know the hands that cradle her in her outreach are hands of a universe held within the heart of her own, wishes owned since she was a child of four. The hands that once held her little hand in a caring clasp, hands big as her face, hands as soft as wispy clouds. She doesn't know the face that's overseeing her way through the sky in a subtle moonlight is the same one, the same that once shone like the sun from behind, the mountains drawn by her. It's a face faded in the years of growing up to a flicker of remembrance, a smile that stretches from eye to eye and ends on the lips that are now sealed in oblivion. End poem.
Off mute, Naomi. Yeah, so I get the impression of, you know, losing a grandparent, you know, something, you know, a once familiar figure that cared for her, but now that is gone. So wonderful, wonderful right to that prompt. She reaches out to moon with a rose, doesn't know the hands that cradle her in her outstretch are hands of a universe held within the heart of her own wishes owned since she was a child of four. The hands that once held her little hand in a caring clasp, hands big as her face, hands as soft as wispy clouds. That's so beautiful. You know, the imagery, the metaphors in here are just amazing. Beautiful, right, Yuma? And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is beautiful. I'm always impressed by Uma's writing. Am I off mute? I must be. Okay, yes, I am. But yeah, I like how it speaks on an eternal connection, a connection felt since childhood, and that goes beyond. I really like, it's a face faded in the years of growing up to a flicker of remembrance, a smile that stretches from eye to eye and ends on the lips. You know, and I think the idea of having that someone in your life, a grandparent, a parent, a friend, whoever, that when you communicate with them, their smile reaches their eyes. I think that's a wonderful thing. So amazing, right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a great job, and it was nicely penned. You know, I was reading. I'm with you, Naomi. I was thinking of a grandparent as well. I'm not quite sure. I think because of the distance of time. You know, she doesn't know the face that's overseeing her way through the sky in a subtle moonlight. It's the same one that once shone like a sun from behind the mountains drawn by her. It's a face faded in the years of growing up to a flicker of remembrance, a smile that stretches from eye to eye and ends on the lips that are now sealed in oblivion. I thought it was nice work. I really did. And thanks for sharing with us, Uma. I think that's exactly what I saw as well. So it's funny that would hit us both the same way. I think it was that aging into a growing up thing. Yeah. So nice piece.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much, Uma, for writing for us. Always so appreciate it. And I have our next write-up, which is by Arthur Allison. And Pam, your turn to read, my dear.
All right. Lunar Escapade by Arthur Allison. Falling hours flicker into day's ending thrust, continents of clouds, no more curtains of the sun. Rather, blankets of our moon, phases like passions, half full, complete, take toll of time, because love reigns replete, moonlight tales, bedtime yarns, become companions to merry sleep, cozy and comfy, lovers find patronage from the sweet dreams lingering in light shadows. Each end of day spellbound, time itself, history replayed through night hours. There may be eyes sore and sad. There may be rest for working limbs, an invocation to spirit. Be dear, be kind, be darlings around the bedchamber of men. Moonlight remains magic, incomparable intrigue in fantasy's realm, consoling coolness, heated perspiration, nocturnal communion. A bush cat, owl, dog may find now appearance, nevertheless accommodated, as always, common cares. Family gathers round the television for evening entertainment. Laughter may reign, hassle, strains, and nervy tensions lead to squabbles, hissing sounds, all signposts of the night. If insomnia haunts as it can, medication may avail, or my heart seeking strength in scriptures, psalms, verses. Gentle Savior, kind Mother, intercede from all ill. Let it be, let us be, kindred who live in peace, licensed to explore the sky. Stars already named by their Creator's finger as trinkets given to us, more than dust, more than rust. And when rain sounds in music notes as a storm or song, the window panes may react in slight tremor and recognition. I envisage not a foe coming to rob or plunder, making me a case for defense against interlopers' insolence. Mother may recount her days, her children an eager audience, listening to her truth, testing for additions of vindictive proposition. Is night like a mortal thought? For indeed it is an end for those who will not greet a new morning, awakening in purgatory, purgative, persevere of doctrine. Come, bedmate, let us commune with our love feast to war against the anguish of a constrained life where we make do to get through in the flowers, feel, pulses of insects reluctant to sleep, croaking amphibians in frenzy, only appeased by a mystical compact to silence if need prevails. Nightfall will not be hurried into daybreak, taking its stride like a beholden queen, answering her lord with graces and mien. End poem.
What wonderful read there, Pam. you can take a glass of water now. A sip at least. But, you know, well, just amazing, right? But just, you know, amazing, right, to everything this is truly a lunar escapade, you know. It talks about everything that goes on, you know, when that moon comes up, you know, when that, like he says, no more curtains of the sun, rather blankets of the moon. You know, everything that happens, you know, first he describes, you know, the coming of the night, and then, you know, how it impacts everything, like from a bush cat, the owl, the dog, you know, all those animals, again, like in a prior poem, that make their appearance at night, you know, or the family that gathers around the television for the evening entertainment. And, you know, the some people who can't sleep, insomnia that shows up. You know, a storm, you know, storms often we notice them more at night. I don't know why. Maybe everything is dark and silent, so you like tonight, you know. Maybe it was like that this afternoon, I don't know. But I really hear it tonight, you know, there's no noise, so So you really hear like the pattering of the ice, you know, against the window pane. So everything, you know, comes alive at night. It seems everything, you know, a lot of things. And, you know, even the mother that recounts her days, you know, to her children there. So, you know, wonderful, wonderful recounting of what happens at nighttime. And what did you think, Phil?
I thought this was a wonderful poem. I thought it was nicely penned and great imagery throughout. I said, make sure I'm sitting in the right place. That would be terrible. I must have said more after I quoted him. But falling hours flicker into day's ending thrust. Countenance of clouds, no more curtains of the sun. Rather blankets of our moon, phases like passions. Half, full, complete. Take toll of time because love reigns replete. Moonlight tales, bedtime yarns become companions to merry sleep. I thought it was packed full of imagery and a story well told. Nice job. There's so much going on in the poem itself. He hit on so many different things. As Pam was reading, I was going, wow. Okay. And then he was somewhere else and I'm going, wow, this is like just packed full of thoughts and imagery and wonder and what have you. So it's a great job. And thank you so much for sharing with us, Arthur Allison.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I like what Robbie has to say in the room. You know, he recited, you know, I once had a dream of the moon where I was reaching out to it, and even though it still looked so far away, I could feel it like it was next to me. And, you know, that he liked the language of this poem. And, yeah, so thank you, Robbie, for, you know, keeping the room and for your comments. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I like the chaotic pace of this rite. It fits really well with the idea of lunacy, the lunacy that comes from, you know, how the mind and the soul changes beneath moonlight. Yeah, he really bounces well from one thought to another, and it makes me think of the idea of, you know, not being able to sleep, of, you know, staring out at the light of the full moon and all the thoughts and prayers and, you know, worries that come to your mind. I like how he brings out, you know, the consoling coolness, heated perspiration, nocturnal communion, a bush cat, owl, dog may find now appearance, nevertheless accommodated. You know, it makes you think of the sights and sounds and the reactions that the body has to the night air. And wonderful, wonderful, right, and very well done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's true that, you know, the night, my mother had the saying, and I say it to my children, and now my children say it to their children. And it's, you know, when we were upset or were worried about something or something was going on or weren't feeling good, she always told us, well, go to bed, and it'll be better. Everything will be better in the morning. And, you know, I used to get so, so mad when she'd say that to me. It was like she was just, you know, get to bed, you know, leave me alone. But it's true. Oh, my gracious, it's so true. And, you know, when you go to bed and you get a good night's sleep, your problems seem so less serious the next, well, some of them, I mean, you know, some problems, I'm not talking for everybody there and every problem, but I mean, some things just, you know, that seem so drastic the evening before. Once you get a good night's sleep, you see things in a better light and things are looking up and things are not as bad. But I always said that to my kids, and you know, now my kids say it to their kids, like my mother said to me, just those things. So wonderful, wonderful write by this poet Arthur, indeed, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. And the next write we have up is by Forgotten Dream. And it's called Building Moments Together. And it goes like this. I can still remember the time we collected stars falling like light rains against the inky surface of waves, sitting on the craggy driftwood, boring my toes beneath damp sand to dig for the remaining rays of daylight's heat. My body melds into yours, head filling the vacant space from shoulder crook to hip, a personal fire burning between us. Our eyes shine like the moon quivering on the beryl ocean. Lips exhale warm tea breath that curls constellation tendrils in the brisk air. Fingers twist and small squeezes speak volumes as night blooms around us. And you know, wow, what an amazing poem of being together underneath underneath the moonlight and by the ocean. I spent so many evenings like this, but here she is with a loved one, and you just feel that chemistry. And you know, this is a moment that she just describes a moment that in time that you wish you'd have and keep forever and ever and ever if you did have one. So, and I love her imagery and her metaphors. Lips exhale warm tea breath that curls constellations, tendrils in the brisk air. Just amazing, amongst others that she has. Amazing metaphors, but what a writer, Forgotten Dream. And Pam, what did you think of this write?
Oh yeah, she always has the most beautiful writing, wonderful imagery throughout. I really love how this is both romantic and sensual, and shows us a painting of what it's like to have that deep connection beneath the moonlight. My body melds into yours, head filling the vacant spaces from shoulder crook to hip, a personal fire burning between us. Our eyes shine like the moon quivering on the barrel ocean. Lips exhale warm tea breath. Love those lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And feel your thoughts.
I thought there was beautiful imagery throughout and a story well told. It was sweet and it was loving. I was originally going to quote the lines that Pam picked, but instead I went back up to the top because I liked it from the beginning. Every stanza was really nice. So I can still remember the time we collected stars falling like light rains against the inky surface of waves. Sitting on the craggy driftwood, burrowing toes deep beneath damp sand to dig for the remaining rays of the daylight's heat. I think she set the image beautifully at the very beginning, and it continued down the same path. It didn't lose anything. It just changed. And I think she painted the picture beautifully of the time shared together. And I'm not sure what prompt 19 was, but it was really very nicely done and a great piece. So thank you so much, Forgotten Dream. It's nice to
absolutely. Thank you so mm-hmm. much for writing. Write in every contest. Oh, boy. And I have our next writer up. But it's Shalini Krish, and it's Moony Whispers, and Phil, your turn to read.
Okay, 1 second. There we go. Okay, I'm getting there, promise. Well, now I have to coax AP to do their thing. Okay. A Moony Whispers by Shalini Krish. Lunar blooms white, bombing the breeze, blossom thistle torches, lighting argent fantasies. Silvery fireflies flashing, flying, kissing my cheeks, embracing night cuddles me sweet. Nightingale melodies trickling to hills, chalice spilling with romantic elixir. Diamond droplets chilling the leaves of pink water lilies, smoothly caressing my breath. Aphrodite fingers rippling, cool glassy pools, nudges of soft beams tickling my feet. Blue lotus whispering to stars nestling sheen, glittering circles unfurling, idyllic spirit. Serene moony lover, not in distant either. Aquatic crystal, he, sparkling with heavenly luster. Just a pond, paint away, me and he. Freely flowing enchantment, weightless, timeless, cosmic ocean deep. Bells jingling, tinkling, deep from beneath. Ecstatic heart painting, smile in my lips. He's tantalizing my senses for a gentle, satiny touch. Hands stretching out for a celestial feel of my impeccable beloved, raining aquamarine dreams. End poem.
Ah, this is just superb. You know, I really like, you know, of course the moon and, you know, the night sky, the moon, the stars and the cosmos and, you know, those are things that have fascinated us for years. But, you know, I really love, you know, tonight how where these prompts have taken us to, you know, it was almost a wonderland, you know, and this is, you know, another exceptional ride on migration. It's so light and flowy and enchanting and, you know, it just flows, you know, effortlessly. It's just a thing of beauty. You know, it just transported me elsewhere, you know, into the Milky Way, as you were reading, Phil. And, you know, yeah, just amazing words play, you know, short lines, but so impactful. You know, just like caressing, you know, the leaves of pink water lilies smoothly caressing my breath. Blue lotus whispering to stars, nestly sheen. And I just love freely flowing enchantment, weightless, timeless, cosmic, ocean deep. I think that, you know, it envelopes everything that the cosmos is there, the universe, you know, the sky, the night sky. But just a beautiful poem by another poet that, you know, is new to me. So I have catching up to do. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I really like this. Shalini is pretty new to me also. I'm getting to know their poetry over this last few days and coming to enjoy and appreciate it. I really love the romantic quality of this write. It paints a picture with words that brings to life not only the sights of nighttime, but the sounds as well. And, you know, I really like where it says, nightingale melodies trickling to hills, chalice spilling with romantic elixir. And then also Aphrodite fingers rippling cool glassy pools. You know, I mean, it's just an amazing write on the romanticism felt beneath a moonlit night. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And we have Betty Page up next, Dancing Castles, and I wasn't sure if she had an audio or not in on that.
Yeah, it's
poem.
Up. It's up.
It's up. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, whenever ready.
I got it, Pam.
Oh my goodness, I am so sorry. I apologize.
Castles.
Let me...
Romantic evenings. Dinner for two is divine. Surrounded by trees. Picturesque. Serene. Blooming colors amidst green. Sweet fantasy land. Caressed by moonlight. Windswept swings me round and round. Melodically, we dance, he dips me, enchanted, locked within gaze. He loves to amaze, beautiful blue eyes, fiery cinnamon hair, alluring sweet smile. So sassy, he winks. I'm seduced so helplessly by his wicked charms. King of his castle, softly he kisses me, his queen, dancing on rooftops, phonograph playing, spins records we grew up with, as if time stopped. Romantic love songs takes us back when we were young, the day we first met. Waves crash below us, gently rolling back and forth. We watch ships passing, colorful sunset, watch the moon rise above bright stars, cascades as glitter. Sweetie, I love you. He replies, I love you too. Let's dance infinite. End poem.
You might want to get off mute, Naomi.
Oh, my gracious.
Everybody's mute button has been revoked.
My gracious. I was talking away. I was just saying, you know, thank you to Betty Page for the audio. It's so appreciated. And, you know, to everybody out there, you know, if they can't call in and they have a chance to do so, to provide a SoundCloud or, you know, a kind of audio for their poem, because it's so wonderful to hear their poem in their own voice. And, you know, this was just absolutely amazing. Like, so sassy winks, I'm seduced so helplessly by his wicked charm. King of his castle softly kisses me, his queen, dancing on rooftops. Phonograph playing, spins records we grew up with as if time stopped. And, you know, I guess she wrote to that prompt where we had the Bruce Springsteen song too, you know, with their on dancing on the rooftop to the record playing. And wonderful imagery, as Betty can do them, a wonderful, sensual, loving right. I just love the ending. You know, I love you. I love you too. Let's dance and sin it. And beautiful imagery all the way through this. Dancing Castle, so well titled. And what did you think, Pam?
This has wonderful imagery and metaphors, beautiful and heartfelt. I love how she tells the story with her 575 lines. And I like how this rite speaks on a love that grows within the moonlight dance. I really like how it has a nostalgic feel to it, especially with phonograph playing, spins records we grew up with. It's as if time stopped. Romantic love songs takes us back when we were young, the day we first met. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Phil?
I think that I'm a little confused, but nothing unusual there. I like the, well, you know, what can I tell you? I liked the poem very much. I really did. And when it got to the phonograph playing Spin's records we grew up with, it's fun. You know, it talks about dancing on the rooftops. And it took me to that prompt where the man and woman are dancing on the rooftop, which is actually an old, like, Victrola. And that's the prompt that I thought she had written to. And then I said, never mind. That was a poem number. I'm always doing that with Betty's work. I thought it said prompt six. So what can I say? I can't read. But I thought it was an excellent write by Betty, a great take on the prompt and well done. And, yeah, I really enjoyed the romance of the piece. But, yeah, I started out with King of the Castle, softly kisses me, his queen, dancing on rooftops. And I went all the way down, you know, to actually, I think it was the end. Yes, nope, it was not the end. I'm not that crazy today. waves crash below us, gently rolling back and forth. We watch ships passing. Colorful sunset, watch the moon rise above bright stars, cascades as glitter. I thought it was just a pretty piece, just nicely written. And Pam, I apologize. I wasn't trying to step on your toes. I'll be quiet.
Oh, you know what? That's one of those moments I really needed you to step on my toes, because honestly, I wasn't even on mute. All of a sudden, for some reason, I thought you were running the phone, even though I had been aware all night that I was. And I was in there thinking, well, just push the damn button, Gene.
Well, I'm sitting here, and I honestly, in my head, I swear to God, in my head, I thought that that's what it was. You thought I was doing the damn phones, right? And I'm going, and I didn't want to do anything. And then when I did it, you had responded, and I felt bad because I hit the button, and here you are trying to say, and I'm like, oh, God. So I didn't mean to make a mess.
No, I apologize. I don't know where my brain floated off to in that moment. Probably, honestly, I think I was riding some moonbeams or something. So you made a good call with that one.
Yeah, that was good. I got it.
A piece of lunacy. So I have a poem up. I don't know if it'll be our last. It's a short one by Miriam Kilmer. And I don't know. I have no idea who read last.
It's your turn.
My turn to read? Okay.
No, wait.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, because Betty read the last one, silly as I am.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think I read the last one. I think it's your turn, Phil.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't. This is fine by me. Here we go. This is called For Noel T by Miriam Kilmer. Pink rivulet flows across the table like ink putting into twilight. Puddling into... Let me start over because now I'm making up words. Maybe I'll hit it up one more size. For Noel T by Miriam Kilmer. Pink rivulet flows across the table like ink, puddling into twilight. Carved crescent moon floats among tiny, scattered rock candy stars and rumpled clouds. Sleepy poet dreams slumped on the table, pen dropped, gold hair gleaming in lamplight. Her tiny dream lover climbs a ladder towards her, clutching his wild pink rose, while all around, tiny white dream cats frolic among the stars. Only our poet's tabby wakes, alert by her side, watching the dream unfold with smiling eyes. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Phil. And, you know, amazing write for that prompt by Miriam. You know, she catches the prompt, you know, just beautifully with every line. And, you know, she really did capture that prompt, you know. Sleepy poet dream slumped on the table. So she's imagining Noel T in that image as the girl in that image that slumped over, dreaming, you know, her her starlit dreams while her lover's climbing a tiny ladder towards her. Just a sweet, tender little poem. I really liked it. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really like how she paid tribute to the artist within her lines. There definitely is a very, to me, surreal quality to this rite that I really like. Gold hair gleaming in lamplight, her tiny dream lover climbs a ladder towards her. And I also really like tiny white dream cats frolic among the stars. Only our poet's tabby wakes alert by her side. Those are wonderful lines comparing the visions of the dream to the reality of life. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Pam. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was a beautiful little rite and a nice tribute to Noel T. And I didn't have to go look at the prompts because I saw this one earlier and I was like, okay, yeah, she's got this. I thought it was very well written and a fabulous take on the prompt. Good imagery and a great job. And I started with pink rivulet flows across the table like ink, puddling into twilight. Carved crescent moon floats among tiny scattered rock candy stars and rumpled clouds. Sleepy poet dreams slumped on the table, pen dropped, golden hair gleaming in lamplight. Her tiny dream lover climbs a ladder towards her, clutching his wild pink rose. I thought they were great lines, and I think from that point down with the cats and everything, it kind of puts it a little bit more into that dream state of where she's sleeping. And I think that that was a great way to touch on the image, to make it into a dream. So nicely done, Miriam, and great job. Much enjoyed.
Whoops. Absolutely, Miriam. Thank you so much. And I have a last write-up for the night, which is a very beautiful one by Ink Weaver. And Pam, if you want to give that a read for us.
Sure. My Amphibious Life by Ink Weaver. I sit spinning round on my cushion of velvety green. I captain this earth's lily boat, watch night gentle arms drape a curtain of glitter-flecked light, carefully braiding the tapestry of night. Earth sighs beneath us, indolent, empiric. My amphibious fingers reach and spread. I stir the black pooled surface, idly stroking. Listen to the music of fluid in motion, swishing, churning, lapping. Frog-like, I perch on my perfidious pad, my eyes blink twice wide in wonder. Light painted water spotlights the flattened moon, lying there, euphoric and smug, riding on slow sliding ripples, onyx dark and shiny, studies clouds from below. Shadow chopped orb shimmies and dips, a graceful glissade with rhythmic fall and rise, then waves winking at me as if we share a secret. Bending, reaching, I plop in the water to rescue the moon from his callous escape. The sky needs your light and your pull of the tides, not to mention love-spun glow evermore. I surface and look round me, concentric rings of waves, spreading obliterates crescent moon face, dim image fades, vanishes. He's now back in the cosmos, taking up space. End poem.
And you know what a wonderful read that was, Pam, and what a beautiful write by Ink Weaver. Another name that, you know, I think I saw before, but I'm not sure. But, you know, just from the beginning, you know, I sit spinning round on my cushion of velvety green. I captain this earth lily boat. Watch night's gentle arms drape a curtain of glitter-flecked light, carefully braiding the tapestry of night. You know, right away she starts off with this beautiful, beautiful imagery, or he starts off, I'm not sure, but, you know, the poet. And, you know, this is just magical all the way through. What did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought that, well, first of all, let me start here. I think, I could be wrong, Dot Mabry, is that Dottie Wrights or Dot Wrights?
It is. It used to be Dot Wrights.
And,
yep.
And that's who this is.
Just
so you
okay.
know.
Okay. Okay.
The first time I read the name down in the author's notes, I went, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I had just seen this name the other day, and I was like, who is that? They must have popped into L&P, and I'm like, who is it? I don't know that name. And when I looked, I went, oh, I think it's Dot Wrights. So there, the mystery is solved. But I think that this is beautifully written with wonderful imagery. I picked it up here. I sit spinning round on my cushion of velvety green. I captain this earth's lily boat. Watch night's gentle arms drape a curtain of glitter-flecked light, carefully braiding the tapestry of night. Earth sighs beneath us, indolent, empiric. My amphibious fingers reach and spread. I stir the black pooled surface, idly stroking, listening. Listen to the music of fluid in motion, swishing, churning, lapping. Just great lines all the way through. I mean, the whole poem was wonderful. I think I just kind of started at the beginning because I was still listening to Pam read at the end. I didn't pick anything past there. But it was just a very well done piece. And thank you so much, Dottie, for sharing with us.
Absolutely a magical piece. And Pam, do you want to leave your comment in writing or take time to comment?
Yes,
or
yes, I'll do that. Great show tonight,
okay.
Naomi.
Yeah,
thank
excellent.
You very
thank
much.
You good work. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you. And thank you for everybody who wrote for the show. It was just wonderful poetry tonight. Thank
yes,
you, girls.
Nice
good
job,
night.
Ladies. Thank you. Good night.